Good afternoon, everyone. I'm calling to order the June 26, 2024 Town of Ponce Inlet Special Meeting, our preliminary budget workshop, to order at 2 o'clock p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All council members are present and in chambers, and we are ready to begin our discussion of capital improvements and level of service enhancements. Mike?
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, members of the council, staff, and members of the public, all four of you for being here. Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and look at the memo that was prepared. This was sent out last week. And just to give an overview of the purpose of this meeting, this is really just to kind of provide an overview of our kind of budget situation, where we stand in terms of our finances in a very general sense, and then also to talk about some of the big ticket items, what we call capital purchases. These are one-time purchases of either equipment or a project or additional staff, anything that's going to cost $25,000 or more. The little stuff, anything less than that, any kind of operational expenses, or outside the scope of this workshop. That'll be part of the second budget workshop that we'll have next month. We're also not here to talk about millage rates or anything of that nature. We're at a very high level view right now for this. So attached to your memo is proposals, first of all, that were sent to the Essential Services Advisory Board back in March. They are charged by ordinance with looking at any capital projects or any expenses of $50,000 or more from police, fire, and public works. The complete list from the different departments, that is provided in attachment 2. And then in attachment 3 is kind of a 5-year look at where these expenses will trend over time, things that may not be not requested this year, but in the coming years. And then finally, the background reports that were provided to the Central Services Board, those are in attachment 4. So that was provided to you last week. What I'd like to do is share some additional information with you in this presentation. So this is going to follow very similar to the format that we did last year. We're going to talk about assumptions. These are the kind of where we stand in terms of our reserves, hurricane expenses, rising costs, obligations, revenue tax base, and utility fees. Then we're going to talk about priorities. And really where we want to go with this is like last year. We want to find out what's important to this council and to the public. There's always with this process, you start out with a list of things coming from the public and from staff and the council. These would include things that we need to have and some things that are nice to have. And so right now we're at a point where we're putting all that together. And of course, as we go through this in the coming months, we'll need to whittle that down. Okay, so let's start with reserves. Up there at the top, you see that's our resolution 0904, which describes the purpose of our reserves, and it's for their very limited purposes: mitigate current future risks, natural disasters, unanticipated expenditures, and ensure stable tax rates. That requires a minimum of 3 months and maximum of 9 months. So you can see starting back in 2021, we were at 8.5 months, then went down to 7, and then for the past 2 years, we've been at 6. It was in 22-23 where we went to the below rollback rate, and then that was quickly followed by a couple hurricanes, which put a big dent in our reserves. But we've really tried to hold those steady as we recover from that. And so that's our best guess of where we are right now, 6 months.
Michael, do we have anything coming from FEMA left to reimburse us for any of that?
I'm about to show that here on the next slide, actually. So. Yeah, in the 2022 hurricanes, total estimated repair cost was $842,000. Out of that, $656,000 were eligible for reimbursement through FEMA or insurance. There was a part of that, of course, that just didn't qualify for any kind of reimbursement, so we had to eat that. We've already gotten $241,000 back from insurance, and then almost $357,000 from FEMA. All told, we are still waiting on another 58,000. So part of that's from FEMA, part of that's from insurance when we start to construct the dune walkover ramp at Ponce Preserve. All right, then we get into rising costs. This is, we're still in inflationary times. These things have happened. There have been a lot of changes with just the cost of doing business. One of the big things that we've seen and kind of anticipated in this year's budget is the cost of additional staff. So this past year, or actually this current year, we've added 8 staff positions. 3 of those are firefighters. We're now up to 5 firefighters per shift in 3 shifts. 2 police officers, one of which we're still in the process of hiring. Public works maintenance person. We added an assistant deputy clerk and then a grants coordinator accounting position, which we're still hiring for. And employee benefits, we expect that to go up. Now, I'll tell you, thanks to Kim Trebano's good work, we were able to negotiate those down. They initially came to us with a cost increase around 10%, but we got that down to 4.5%. Then we're in the final year of our resolution 2021-08. In which the cost is going up for everybody by a certain defined amount each year. So this coming year will be the last year of that. Then, of course, insurance, we're still waiting to get some of that back from our insurance broker, Brown & Brown, but we're anticipating property insurance increase of 10%. The other stuff, the overall, we're still waiting. We don't really have an idea right now, but actually we're gonna hope to get that very soon. Okay, and then kind of along with that, we had to raise our utility fees. Last year, at the end of 22-23, we raised garbage collection rates. That's in response to costs from our provider. That is for a 2-year term, so we won't have to raise them again next year. Water had to go up, and we did a rate study for that, and then we established in our fee resolution defined increases for the next 5 years. So that is automatic. I mean, we won't have to go through that process again because that's going to be done automatically. But a huge part of that was in response to changes by Port Orange. They had not increased theirs. Of course, we buy water from them, and so we have to adjust our fees accordingly. This current year, we raised rates. Again, this was in response to Port Orange for sewer and development fees, which also called impact fees. We know that for sewer, excuse me. Port Orange did not do a multi-year adjustment, so they decided for sewer they're going to do it every year. So again, that means that those costs pass through us for our customers, we have to pass that on and raise our sewer fees again this year, and that'll be effective of January 1st of next year. And then earlier this calendar year, we also raised water connection fees. These are, again, intended to match what Port Orange is doing, and we raised some additional fees that hadn't been touched in a while as well. This next year, we're hoping to get our stormwater utility fee in place. That's something that the council approved for this current fiscal year is to do that study, so the data collection for that is in progress. Okay, and then these are some things, starting with loans that we are obligated to pay for, including our town hall. This next year will be the last year of that. That was a 20-year loan. The stormwater improvements, we're going to be in the 19th year of that. The water system improvements, we're going to be in the 8th year. And then we have our septic to sewer phase 1, which is really, that's almost, you can think of that as a pass-through since that's a 100% principal forgiveness loan. We have grant matches like our new fire department generator. We received notice that the governor had did not veto that, so he had approved that with the state budget. Our sidewalk project design, and then I forgot to mention also we have that grant for the public safety vessel. And then donations, this is something that the council discussed earlier month for Harbor Village. That amount has yet to be determined. All right, earlier this month we received from the property appraiser the adjusted value of all properties in the town at over $1.3 billion. That's an 8.5% increase over last year's value. And then if we were to go to, if we were to apply the same millage rate as we have now, that would yield almost $8 million in ad valorem tax revenue at a 95% collection rate. And so that's over $613,000 more than what if we would get if we went to a rollback rate. And so the preliminary rollback rate is 5.79. So, and with this kind of valuation, each tenth of a mil yields over $126,000. All right, well, let's look at our tax base. We did this analysis last year. The percentage of homesteaded versus non-homesteaded has not changed. There's been some minor fluctuations. What you see there is the number of single-family condominium in the total. And then in the yellow there, that's the change since last year. So we're still at 47% homesteaded, 53% non-homesteaded. That's the same as last year. All right, and then here's how, this is just a brief history of our budget process so far this year. So we've had three meetings at Essential Services Advisory Board, three meetings of the Cultural Services Board. It was at the March meeting of the Essential Services Board where they provided the recommendation to council. Now, we went back to them earlier this month when we found out about our Public Works Building B, which you know we found out needs to be replaced. Cultural Services Board has looked at also various items. They had one last one in May to look at some additional proposals for Timaquan Oaks, and that was in lieu of replacing the pergola that got damaged at hurricanes. They had indicated that they were not interested in replacing that. And then that brings us here today at our preliminary budget workshop. Okay, so here's the list that was recommended by the ESAB. This was in March, so it does not include Building B. These are ranked in priority. These dollar amounts also include the numbers that we provided to them as we knew them at that point. So these numbers you can expect to change. But that's kind of where we were. So that included the stormwater one-way valve installation phase two. What we had called phase one, which is under design now, you know, that's only going to be for some of the streets, but not all the streets where they're needed. So that's why there's a phase two. Yeah, included an additional water system personnel in public works, the new fire truck, which we'll get to later, the public safety vessel, which that's been on a council goal for several years now, the second set of firefighting gear, the boardwalk replacement at the museum, the backup power load stretcher, that's the basically a lift system. It lifts the stretcher up into the ambulance. And then the replacement cascade system, which is part of the breathing apparatus. Okay, so this is a little bit more current. Here's where we are today, breaking this down into equipment purchases. So we have the Quint 75 ladder truck. This is, I had to Google this. So a Quint is also called a quintuple combination pumper. It's a fire apparatus that serves a dual purpose of an engine and a ladder truck. So it's all in one. And it has this, the term Quint comes from the fact that it has five different functions. So that's to a pump, a water tank, fire hose, aerial device, which is a ladder, and then ground ladders. So according to our public safety director, I mean, that's really useful. Anything over one story, you need to have a ladder. I mean, that's really important. So the current truck that we have is what, approximately 15 years old. Is that right, Dan? Okay. And then what we're looking at here is a lease purchase option. So instead of how we used to do it, saving up money over many, many years to buy, we need this thing now, so we're looking at a lease purchase where we can make a down payment. That would be $110,000, and then payments over a certain number of years after that. excuse me. Also, the new fire hose is needed. The backup power load stretcher is previously mentioned. And then we get down to these below, the ones in red. Those were in proposed with last year's budget, but we're not part of that. Or did not get approved with that budget. So we have our public safety vessel. It was initially thought we had until this year, but we did to make that purchase or go through the grant. We did find out we have until September 30th of next year, but that's it. There's no more extensions. We've had to extend it several times, but that would be it to make that decision. All right. Then we get to our fire department generator. As I had mentioned, that was approved in the state budget for a matching grant. So we would need to match that amount, which our contribution to that would be $35,000. The generator for public works did not get approved by the governor. That's going to be needed when we get to redoing Building B in the public works facility. That would be the time to replace that as well. And then the automatic line flushers, that was described in the report that went to the ESAB. Those are devices that, instead of having someone, a person to go out there and flush the line, it's done automatically. It has an ability to test and detect the chlorine levels in the water. And when they get to a certain point too low, then the flushers come on. All right, here's some pictures to illustrate the truck, the fire truck, especially on the right. That's a 75-foot ladder. That's why they call it a Quint 75. But it has all the functions. We have just the pumper now. It does not have a ladder. If we need to do a rescue now in a multi-story building, we have to bring in someone from another city to do that. Okay, so these are some of the projects we're talking about. The museum boardwalk, that's been deferred for several years now. The price that you see there is $65. It has gone up each year. This would include, from what I understand, the more composite material rather than wood. And so it would be something that would be expected to last a long time. Right now, if you've ever been out to it, it sits under shade, big oak tree canopy, so when it gets wet, it doesn't dry. And so it's not looking all that great right now. We have our sidewalk project, which this town has been invested in since 2019. It's going to be headed to design this fiscal year by Volusia County, and then in construction starting in 2026. So we are obligated to 15% of whatever it costs, and we're estimating that amount right now at $1.1 million. And we're expected to, by the time we get done paying for the survey and the design, that should satisfy our cost. Then we have to pay Volusia County for their staff time as well, since they're running the project with us. All right, there's Building B. That is the most up-to-date cost now, $200,000 for that. That includes the demolition, design of the structure and the site. And then there are some other things that you had noticed, probably noticed in the previous submittals that included the public works locker, and then the generator. All those things will be kind of wrapped into it and be done at one time. What we're proposing right now, though, is just the design of the site and the structure. And then the construction of that structure, like the parking lot, that would be designed now but built later in a future year. Okay. There's town hall landscaping. That is something that we had considered earlier this year after the invasive species were all cleared off there, and it was really barren right now. But right now, it's you can see they put down the grass seed, and it's grown back. So the discussion or the plan at that time was to put in native vegetation that wouldn't have to be watered or, you know, require extensive maintenance, but that would have to be designed and installed. Okay, and then we have the septic to sewer project. We're proposing that's going to be split into two phases, covering half of what was proposed. And that takes up the bulk of the project. And, of course, that amount is going to be repaid by the state. Is there a zoom on this, Debbie? Do you know? All right. Can you zoom in on the site plan? I'll go back. Okay. Well, it's okay. It's all right. Okay. What you see there in yellow, that's where the Building B would go. The current Building B is just to the south of that. And you have, this would become kind of a parking area. And the idea is you would have at least two equipment bays that would have entrances on each side, so you could essentially drive through the structure. There's shed there right now, just to the on the top of it there, that would be taken down, and then so you have a circular pattern all the way around the building. And then over on the right hand side, that's illustrating the proposed parking lot expansion. The town owns the property. It's actually to the south, over to the right side, at the corner of Beach Street and Peninsula. He's owned that for at least 10 years. That would need to be technically rezoned to public public institutional use. Right now, it's a residential property, never been developed, but this is purchased for this reason, is to use this. So this is a concept layout that just shows how that would be essentially made into a retention area, and then you'd have landscape buffer on either side. In the lower right hand, that's a picture of the museum deck showing some of the rot that's occurred there. Okay, then we get into maintenance. The first one I want to talk about is the Ponce Preserve boardwalk pilings. There's an illustration of that on the lower right, and that's one of the nicer looking ones. There's there are a lot worse than that. That's why we had to close the park, or close the boardwalk. We're going to be able to do that this year. Finance has found the money. We have, and that's going to be derived mostly from interest on our savings due to the high interest rates this year. Also, a lot more permit fees than expected. So that and some other things that we've been able to find in the budget. We'll pay for that. And that needs to be done this year rather than waiting. And then we have the gazebo roof replacement, where you see in the middle picture the rust. That is occurring primarily where the metal panels are bolted to the roof frame. And you can see that on all of them. This is just one example. All right, this is the salary survey. This is what we had mentioned this last year. And you know, we've mentioned this several times before. There are certain positions that are just really hard to fill. And you know, the one way to attract people is to pay them well. And you know, we've seen that several times in some of the positions we've had, but you know, I can think of our senior planner position, for example. That's been vacant for over a year. And you know, that's in high demand right now. So this survey is intended to help us figure out what the market rate is for all these different positions. And then that will go into, once our resolution for the pay increase is finished, then that would be expected to how we would proceed forward with that in future years. Okay, and then there's the new personnel with Public Works. Okay, well, that's it. So at this point, we want to hear from you and from the public. There's always, like I said, choices that need to be made from any budget, but we want to hear what's important to you and also what's not important to you, and so we can make these decisions accordingly, and then prepare the draft budget and present that to you in July.
Mike, thank you so much, and sure. I see that we have all our department heads here, so that if there are any questions of council or the public, that you're available to us, and we're most appreciative of it. And Mike, you did a superb job for us, getting us ready for today, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'll open it up to the council. I see someone ready to talk.
Go ahead. Wait. Go, Jeff.
A question regarding safety vessel. What would be the downside or the liability encountered by the town if we push this off another year or so?
The question is, if we were to put this off for a year, do we have
the next
liability?
Fiscal year, yeah, instead of considering it this year. As going through everything over the last couple of days, I'm just like, as I look at all the line items, I kind of culled out maybe four or five of them, that I was wondering what would be the downside if we fund it in the next fiscal year as opposed to this one, because I'm anticipating that in this one we're probably looking at some unanticipated major expenses.
So for you, the vessel would be something that you would consider maybe putting it aside, assuming it would not be extremely detrimental to the town. Mike, I don't know if any of us are able to answer the liability question from an attorney, but I don't know if perhaps Chief Glazier could expand upon.
Yeah, he could do that. I don't know that there's a liability per se, but there might, and I don't even think there's a consequence if we have till next September, but I'll let him speak to that.
Thank you, Chief.
Hi, good afternoon. Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. No, I agree with Mike. I don't think there's any liability for us not to be on the water. There's currently other jurisdictions that are out there, the Coast Guard, FWC, and Volusia County. So we coordinate with them. But I don't see, there's really no obligation to patrol the waterways.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. And if I could ask on this, then, do they in fact patrol?
That's the challenge, right? So they're out there, but not out there as much as we would be. So that's kind of the give and take if we give to somebody else. We really can't control their staffing. We can't control their calendar or when they're going to be out there or when they're not going to be out there.
And in terms of behavior on Disappearing Island, is Disappearing Island our jurisdiction?
Yes, it is.
And at this time, without having a safety vessel, how do we get out there if there is an issue? How do we even know what's going on out there?
Well, we don't get the calls because we don't have a vessel. So dispatch gives the calls to other jurisdictions. So we don't know what's going on. And we would just have to get a ride.
Get a ride?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Hold it. Don't we have a grant? When's the grant expire? Didn't we get $40,000 toward it?
That's correct. We did get a grant, and we have one more extension if we want to use it until August of 2025.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Joe. You have other priorities you wanted to address?
Sure. Looking at the street revitalization, do we have an idea of which streets we'd be looking at to prioritize that expense?
Not currently, and that's it. So... What we would be doing first is examining the streets and evaluating them. You need to do that first before, and then come up with a priority list.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, I'll pass. Are you done? Oh, okay, we can pass it to you then.
Thank you. And again, I'm going to bounce around a little bit, and I hope that's okay.
But, absolutely.
And I'll try to get the easy ones first. Let's start with the museum walkover. Again, I know that's been pushed and pushed and pushed, and you know, I think we're finally convinced the day has come that needs to be replaced. But I did have a conversation with Michael about that last week and concerned about the $65,000. And again, I'll use the term Trex. That's all I'm familiar with is, you know, it's a composite wood. But the boardwalk has been there for over 15 years, correct, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. You know, so the conversation I had with Michael, I said, you know, the boardwalk that we have currently is actually built from pressure-treated lumber. It's lasted 15 years. Do we really get double the amount of life from Trex, and of course composite wood, but from Trex that the manufacturer says that we will? And I have used that Trex before. And not real happy with it because of the warping and also the heat that it comes off of that material. So, you know, of half the cost of going to pressure-treated lumber compared to a Trex, you know, I'd like for us to consider that particular piece. And again, we'd have to get some numbers, but I'm all for replacing the walkover, but I think using a pressure-treated material instead of a higher-end Trex would be something we need to look at. Over to the water system personnel. And maybe I'm not understanding how this was written out, but it said need to restore one crew to previous size of four. So if one crew member is down, to get back to the previous size of four, that verbiage tells me that person was budgeted and it was in the number. So, and I'm reading from the sheet. So, but again, it says need to restore one crew member to previous size four. So am I reading that incorrectly?
Yeah, tell you what, does Steve or Dan, would you like to come up and speak to that?
Dan Scales, Fire Chief, Public Safety Director. You're not reading that incorrectly, and what I would do is defer to Steve, but I think historically that was the composition of the crews. And as time went on, if they lost a position, they just didn't replace it. So it's really a historical crew member that was budgeted years ago, but when that individual left, they didn't fill it.
But and again, I'm new, so I'm learning the budget process here. But if that's the case, understanding so far about our budget process, even if we haven't filled the position, just like our planning position, that continues to stay in the budget whether we've replaced that person or not. So just asking a question.
Yeah, if it's budgeted, yeah, that's correct. But this would be adding a new position that's unbudgeted. So if it's budgeted, whether it's filled or not, you're right. I mean, we have to set aside the money for that, whether we fill
it
or not.
But Dan said it was budgeted because we used to have a crew of four, and I'm not arguing that point at all. I'm just trying to make sure I understand this will be a new position, not getting it back to a crew of four.
So if I can...
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
You're spot on. That position, and I'm talking many years ago, and the position was not filled. They cut that position from the budget. That was during the lawsuit, and we were trying to be as frugal as we could.
Sure.
And unfortunately, over time and other priorities, it just was never filled. So we would like you to consider filling it at this time, but obviously we understand there's other budgetary challenges.
Well, and that leads me to my next question then. We currently have someone physically doing the line flushing, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm all for automation. You know, and I hate it when industry goes to automation because that means people lose their jobs. But we're looking for $45,000 for automatic water line flusher that we have one individual currently doing that. So to me, I'm good with the water flusher, but I'm not so certain adding a different position because to me that would be double dipping in my opinion. But I think that's something the council we need to discuss. The big one that I struggle with, and I totally understand Building B and needing to come down, but when I look over these sheets and I see, I need to totally understand what the $150,000, is that the number now?
Yeah,
the $150,000. What are we, I know it's the building's coming down. I know the metal building will be coming down. We'll be relocating the generator and design. Is there anything else that we get for that? Yeah, I won't understand the number, I guess.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there's the demo, there's the permitting, there's a site creation of the site plan, the architectural design. It's not just a metal shed. We were looking at a metal shed, but it's in the middle of a residential area, so it's got to be, you know, made to look like it'll fit in. So there's the exterior improvements that'll go along with it. There's also landscaping. I mean, there's your code requirements that go along with that.
Okay. So the locker rooms that were, they're in this paperwork. You know, we're looking at, and again, I met with Fred the very next day after the building was condemned because I want to understand what was going on with that building. But then he showed me the potential area for the locker rooms, which is actually a work bay. And, you know, why would we consider taking a work bay out that's being utilized for working on equipment, storing equipment, when we're looking at building a new building? It seems to me that the locker room would be included in the new building. So the $30,000 or whatever the number is that's in here, that's not in here anymore, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It absolutely can do that. You know, the locker room had been planned before we even knew about Building B. So I think, yeah, we can certainly try to make the most efficient use of that space. Right. I don't know if, you know, the interior layout, none of this has been designed. I mean, that's going to be part of the process. And I think what we want to make sure is that we do this right. You know, we get it done right the first time and not piecemeal it any more than we have to. I mean, if we can design it with a locker room and it's going to function well, and that's what we need to do.
Okay, and so the $120,000 that's in the paperwork also that we received for the parking lot is now off the table until we get...
Construction of the parking lot, right.
Correct. So that $120,000 that we were potentially going to spend that's in the paperwork, we're not looking at that number anymore today. We will next time.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's, and then, yeah, you didn't, like in the presentation I just gave, that's the parking lot's not in there.
Not in
there. So okay, no. That's what I'm saying.
These things, please understand, I mean, these continue to evolve. You know, they start with ideas, and then we get closer and closer over time to getting to real numbers, and that's right. What we're trying to do.
And then, yeah. And again, that's what I'm saying, Michael, and I agree with it, but when I see things in here, I just want to ask the question.
Of course,
to make sure I totally understand.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
Because, and again, not knocking the parking lot, but I understand, you know, and I will make the statement. Fred said I can build the parking lot for $20,000, which still is not very sitting very well with me, and I understand that whole situation.
Well, I'll just tell you, yeah, there's, you know, we are trying to hire a new public works director, and that person
right.
will have his own ideas, his or her own ideas about what's important and how right. much things cost, and, you know, we can address some of these things at a later time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, with the parking lot, and again, not to keep beating on the parking lot, but when I looked at it, there were 8 parking spots mm-hmm. on that. And that really kind of concerns me a little bit for that amount of money that we're only getting 8 parking spots. And that was based off the pretty picture you had up there. But, again, that's to be hashed out later.
8 parking spots plus retention.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask a question about the retention then. So will the retention be tied into other residential areas, or is that just a retention?
It potentially could be. You know, if we have to look at that. That's part of the design.
Okay.
You know, for
okay.
right now, we know it has to serve that property. If it's possible to make it serve other properties in addition, that'd be great.
Okay. And one last piece, the Ponce Preserve, it was 150, now we think it's 80.
Yes, we have the 150, that was our best guess. We actually have a quote now.
Okay.
So it's a lot less. Chief Scales is in the process of getting additional quotes per our policy, but yeah, right now we got one for 80. So.
Right, that's awesome. That put a smile on my face when I saw that. So the 80, technically, if we didn't have that issue with Ponce Preserve, which we do, but if we didn't, that would have actually gone into building our reserves, correct?
Potentially.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Potentially could have been.
Yeah.
I just want people to understand it's all of a sudden that $80,000 just didn't show up. But the way we rebuild our reserves is this way. And luckily, we potentially have the $80,000 that we can cover it out of this year's budget. So I'm using that as a good thing, not a bad statement.
Yeah. The reserves, building up reserves, that's going to take a while. That's not a one-year thing. We were able to hold them steady this current fiscal year, you know, but that was quite a chunk of money. So it's going to take a while.
Okay. I'm good for right now. Thank you.
You're good for now. Okay. Bill?
It's funny how people think about things. I was going to say it's about time the Public Works finally got a locker room, because now they're storing their stuff in the car. All their valuables stay in their car. There's no place for them to shower. So I was thinking, oh, my God, it's about time we're finally getting it. So it's a different
right.
thought. So as I looked over it, I thought the Cultural Services Board and the different groups put together a really decent package of needs, because they looked at the safety of our employees. They looked at the safety of our citizens, and they looked at how we could move forward and get things done a little bit faster until waiting until something has happened, like Skip. We talked about it being proactive instead of reactive. So I have what I saw, I was actually happy with. With the composite, I agree with you concerning the heat, but if you walk on a pressure-treated walkway that has been stained, it is as hot and at times hotter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I am now wearing sandals to go to the beach, and I've gone
right.
barefoot for, you know, 20 years. So I think before we say don't do the composite, get an evaluation, because what we did before we put the composite in Lighthouse Village, we put it out on a deck to see how it stained, number one, and then we looked to see how it faded. We had it up there for a while, and we ended up biting the bullet and going with the composite because it was actually cooler than the pressure. And it happens.
It gets
if you
hot.
Don't stain it,
mm-hmm.
it is okay. Mm-hmm. But once you stain it, it becomes a heat magnet. But
the things that were put together, I want to compliment the Cultural Services Board because they did spend time, not Cultural Services,
Essential Services Board,
they did spend time looking at how we can be safer for our citizens. They spent time making sure that our citizens are safe and access is there. So I couldn't find anything that I wanted to cut, but other than the boat. But I don't want to lose the grant.
Yes, understood.
So I think with the comments that Joe and Skip made were right on, and it's all how you perceive things.
Thank you, Bill. Gary?
Yes, this being my 13th or 14th budget, I can't keep track. I've developed a philosophy, and I'd like to share that with you at this point. And I want to say that, yes, what Bill said, they've done a very nice job putting all of this together, wants and needs. At this point in the process, if there's something we definitely don't want, we say, yeah, we're not going to approve that. Take it out. But until we get to the next step and we see the millage rate, we see the dollars, we see the potential increase to do everything, we don't start nickel-diming it at that point and proceed forward. So if there's something that we just don't want, then let's not move forward with it at this point. Otherwise, go with what's been prepared. There's been a lot of work put in here. There's wants and there's needs. The needs come first, the wants come second, and then at the next meeting, we can sit and talk numbers once I see the impact of what's on these papers today.
And Gary, I've sat with you for quite a few years on budget, and I do agree with your philosophy that it would be actually not prudent of us to make a decision when we don't have all of the data before us, and we don't at this time. What I would like to comment on, and this is just informational for everybody, is I would like to bring something up for everybody to think about for consideration and future discussion that is a budget item. There's a growing trend in place which involves transitioning our code enforcement boards to a special magistrate. And I'm not suggesting we set a defined date for that, only that we consider looking into it. Right now, we do have a fully staffed board, but there may come a time when we may not have enough volunteers to fill the position. And the transition to a special magistrate has already occurred in multiple jurisdictions, including Volusia County. A special magistrate is an attorney, and it's a member of the Florida Bar in good standing, and they are appointed by the town council to conduct code enforcement hearings pursuant to the Florida statute, Chapter 162. The special magistrate is authorized to impose administrative fines and other non-criminal penalties for the violations. Now, when the subject of a magistrate comes up, one of the points you often hear that I've listened to is that it eliminates the neighbor to neighbor. You have neighbors sitting judging their neighbors. So you have the neighbor to neighbor aspect of the proceedings. Another consideration is the consistency of the amount of the fines over time with changing boards. And finally, there could be cost factors to consider. Is first, we no longer need a board attorney because there's no board. That's the first thing to consider. The actual number of meetings, the time involved for staff getting ready for each case, and potentially the amount of time of the meetings because there's less people discussing it. So there's a lot of considerations. We need, I believe, to just examine this. Other cities are doing it right here. And it may make financial sense, and it might be best practices, notwithstanding the commitment, the efforts, and the hard work of all our volunteers on the board. And our current council member was the chair of the board for 10 years, so we understand the enormous importance of the current board. But some of the jurisdictions have shifted. Daytona Beach, DeLand, Daytona Beach Shores, and Volusia County, and there's more. And I have asked Mike to have Dave Hooker look into this a little bit further for us, because you never know when we may be faced with this to say, we need a special magistrate, and we're going to have to then look at that as a position. So I didn't know if you all were familiar with this, but it is something that's coming down the line. Okay, that's the first thing. And the other thing I just wanted to mention is, Mike, I see that we're looking at street paving, in that we're going to maybe do a study at some point to see what are we looking at timeline-wise with the street paving?
Yeah, the next fiscal year is when we would evaluate the streets and come up with a prioritized list, and then, you know, if we can, then start budgeting for that to do a little bit at a time, maybe like a 10-year cycle. Some places do longer cycle, but, you know, you do a little bit each year.
Thank you, because you all know about paving quite a bit, I think, all of you, and I don't know if we would ever be able to consider white-tinted cool pavement, cooler pavement than the black top for the paws, the feet, the turtles, the dogs walking on the street. It's just a cooler pavement. I don't know. So I just put that out there because I like you to have it in your head as things come down the line. So those were the two items, but I go back to what Gary said. Everybody has worked very hard. We're gathering the information. We don't have final numbers. We don't have all the information we need, and we're most appreciative. Before we open it up to the public, I just want to make sure that we all have the same list, more or less, as we talk about what we just said. And I know that the vessel is something that we're a little questioning on. We know that we have another year if we want to move this forward and not lose the grant, right? And the museum, we may be able to reduce the cost of the materials depending on what comes out. The water system personnel, that individual, do we actually need the water personnel, if are we double dipping is what you're asking,
with the flushing,
if we have the water line flusher. Public Works, they're still working on the design, and it makes a great deal of sense, Skip, is why put a locker room one place when we have a new building coming up. The parking lot, we know that we're still in the design phase for all of that. Did I miss anything of what people wanted us to touch upon or to have, that these were items that we're, you know, we're looking at?
And Mayor, again, this is something that Kim McCall and I talked about probably a year and a half ago, and this might not be the time to bring it up, but you brought up about white pavement, so I think I can bring this up. It only seems to me to make sense that eventually that we set up a reserve for disaster recovery that can only be touched for disaster recovery. And like I said, you know, Kim and I discussed it a year and a half ago, and I thought it was a great idea, and I was always hoping one day that I could be here to bring that particular item up. We all know how reserves are built, but it's just my personal belief that if we have something that's set up, that the only reason that reserve can be touched is for some type of disaster recovery, whether it's hurricanes, fires, tornadoes, whatever the effect might be, we know those funds are there. Because again, after our hurricanes, you know, we were pulling funds away from our reserves, which I get that, but if we could just have one dedicated fund set up, and God knows, I hope we have 10 or 20 years of that reserve being built, that'd be a wonderful thing. So just a suggestion.
Skip, I think the time is absolutely right now to suggest that, because it's something that we could talk about. There would be, I guess, an ordinance after we discuss it, but I believe you brought it up also as a member of the public at one point, and I thought it was a good idea then. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I think it's a good idea. I think it's something that maybe we do want to look into, and we could add it to this budget if we all agree. So your timing was perfect. Thank you very, very much. Is there anything else anyone would like to say before I open this up to the public?
Just about add a couple things if council's
yes.
Ready. Okay. Yeah, going back to the special master, actually Ponce Inlet is in the minority within Volusia County, a small minority, still using a volunteer code board. Most jurisdictions have transitioned to that. Some use a hybrid where they would have a code board for residential cases and the master for commercial or non-residential cases. But yeah, Dave's starting to put together that information, and we could bring that back to you for a future council meeting if you'd like.
I would like that. Would everybody like that? I think we would all very much like that information. I did not realize we're in the minority.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, and then if I can, just a few more things. With the paving, just to keep in mind, when we have our sewer project, that comes with a new road or new pavement. After the road's dug up to put in the sewer, everywhere that's going, we'll have a new coat of pavement when it's all finished. With the museum, one thing to keep in mind about the boardwalk is our obligation for the Volusia Echo Grant ends in 2028. And so that may have, you know, weigh on how much the council wants to spend for that. And then the last thing, of course, you know, as we go through this, this list is, you know, needs. There may be a few wants in there, but most of it is needs. But some needs are more important than others. So we're certainly going to go back and amongst ourselves, you know, and try to bring you what's the most important.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate all of that. We have some members of the public here, I see. Would you like to speak? Would anyone like to come up and speak? Ms. Davis.
I have two questions first before I start.
Okay.
We're in a Nicole Hurricane.
Oh, could you talk in the mic?
Here.
So we can hear it.
Barbara Davis, 4871 Selfridge Drive. And two questions. We're in a Nicole Hurricanes or tropical storms?
Excuse me, okay, Barbara, you need to talk into the mic.
And what category?
Is it on? Is the mic on?
Yes, it's on.
What category?
It's not on.
Okay.
Dan, yeah, could you come up? Could you repeat the question and then give the answer?
So the question was, when Ian and Nicole hit us, were they tropical storms or hurricanes?
I know Ian was a hurricane. Nicole was more of a coastal impact than a direct impact. And as far as the intensity, I think Ian was a one when it came into shore for us, but it started out as a higher hurricane.
And my other question, Chief, was Public Works Building condemned?
So the B building that's next to the main building, yes, yes.
I'm still Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish. So my question about the tropical storm was, those were either a Category 1 or a tropical storm when they hit. That is the first time I have seen in 35 years that we've lived here, and I was born here, so you don't want to ask, but a long time that Ponce Inlet has flooded as bad as it has. And that was a tropical storm, particularly the second one. The first one where we had the 20 inches of rain. So as a citizen, here's what's important to us. Fire, police, public works. This is one of the first years I can remember having a drought and a burn ban. We did have a major fire when we first came here, so that would be about 89, that went through the park. And it went all the way through South Turning Inlet Point. That's what can happen when you... Did you see the winds the night before last? Everybody was out kite sailing. We had like 25-mile-an-hour winds. You get a burn there, a fire there, it's going everywhere. Now, I think Chief Scales has managed to get some water into the park since that time, but still... Our fire department is so important. They are our first line. Anything happens, we can't depend on other jurisdictions. They may have their own problems. So budget items for fire, absolutely. Our police department, we saw the presentation that Chief did. Our guys are doing so much work that we need that department fully staffed. Public works. Okay, so the first thing that happened in Nicole is a tree fell on Sailfish on a power line. So who was there? Fire. Police and public works. Got that, got the power shut off, got the tree cut up because then it would have blocked the road, and when it flooded, nobody's going anywhere. By the way, Ed and I now have 4x4 big trucks to get out of Sailfish, and don't even think about paving that road. But that's what's important to us is police, fire, public works. The generator at public works, I mean, in my opinion is that if it's a safety issue, you know, people look at taxes and they look at an increase in taxes, but you have to look at the pie chart on the property appraiser's website. You have to look at that pie chart. It's not all Ponce Inlet. We are not a huge, overwhelming percentage of the taxes. There's county, school, all these other special assessments. So if we have to raise taxes to get safe, I mean, public works, I don't think it's been changed since we got here. The only thing they did was that there should be this big round water thing with a door that you'd go in. That's gone, praise the Lord. But public works, when this is done, please make it above flood level. We have to start thinking about real flooding. If we're flooding in a tropical storm, which was Nicole, and getting 20 inches of rain like we did in Ian, we have to plan for the worst. The safety vessel, we need to have kayaks and paddleboards for these guys. I know they're doing water training. We have to plan for the worst. We can't let it take us by surprise and hope somebody else is going to help us out. When it hits the fan, it can hit the fan. So I urge you, you know, sometimes you have to just rip off the bandage and get us up to speed. We have to get everything up to where it's functioning. Public works, fire, police. You know, I don't like having our fire department and our public works in flood zones.
Yep.
So our people are staying on site when it hits the fan. Maybe we don't have electricity. Maybe it's flooding. They're in flood zone buildings. So I would love to think about, I mean, I keep looking at this property down here by the police department. Lifting buildings, that's the new normal. If you saw the tropical storm that came in Texas, all those barrier islands, San Pedro, everything is lifted up on pilings. If we're going to build, if we're going to improve, we got to get up out of the flood zone. And really, as a citizen, I don't care how much it costs. If somebody is stuck in their house and they can't get out and we don't have the ability to go in and get them, you know, whether it's kayaks, canoes, safety vessel, I would make sure if we get a safety vessel, there's not a motor sticking down so that we're able to get through the streets. I mean, there may be a day, you saw the stormwater master plan, there could be a day where we do need a boat to get through these streets. So I wouldn't say, well, we can put that off another year. We may not have another year. And I kind of think, so please, generator at Public Works, you know, those guys are our first line of defense with police and fire. They know this town backwards and forwards. They know where the valves are. They know if there's a water main bust. We had my neighbors were out of town. All of a sudden, I look at their water coming up. They were there in 15 minutes to turn the water off. A delivery truck had moved in, had popped the PVC pipe right by the water meter. They were out there, turned it off. That's the kind of service we need. I don't know how to do that. So, you know, you're dealing with a bit of an older community here, and, you know, the money is not that important as the level of service that we are getting. So just rip off the Band-Aid.
Barbara, thank you so very much. I'm so appreciative, and we agree with you on all of the needs and everything. And I'm wondering, Chief Scales, could you share a little bit about what we've tried to do as far as a new fire station? Because I don't know how up to snuff everyone is. Yeah.
What haven't we done recently? So we are looking at every single option that's out there, grant opportunities, legislative appropriations. We tried one with the state. That's not something that they do. They don't like to do that. They have to do other things, which is fine. And we also submitted one through Representative Mills' office. They have an appropriations process that we are actively engaged in trying to get money from the federal government to fund a new fire station. We are looking at every option that's out there to try and get us a new facility.
And at some point, design is important to see what is available, perhaps on town property that may not be in a flood-sensitive zone, even if it's not in a flood zone, for building, for new buildings. So there's a lot of work going on for it, but and I want to say Chief Scales has worked very hard on the applications. He has.
Hopefully it works out.
Thank you.
Let me comment on one of Barbara's statements there and clarify that our tax bill historically is about 25% of your total tax bills. And so when this is used